Tonight at 9 on WHYY-TV, NOVA, School of the Future, reimagines the future of education for children in America. As part of the effort to prepare kids to compete, the PBS program touts the efforts of Simon Hauger, founder and principal of the Workshop School in West Philadelphia. Simon, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you so much for having us.
Philly-born, schooled, and a Drexel grad in, I believe, 1993.
Yes, in engineering, yes.
And then a light bulb hit.
Exactly. I quickly moved from engineering to education. I feel fortunate I found my passion at a very young age, and specifically urban education. I got to start teaching in the neighborhood I grew up in, and I've been doing it ever since.
So let's focus on finding that passion and how important that is for kids of any age.
Yes. It's one of the ideas behind the Workshop School is that high school should connect students with their talents and gifts and passions. A lot of education makes students feel bad about themselves or untalented. In fact, we all have gifts in different ways. And so we believe that school should be a place that nurtures students, that empowers them to find that talent, that values them and says that you have something important to contribute, and do this through the whole school experience. So we have a project-based approach to education, and we use this kind of democratic advisory model, and we feel like it empowers students to really find themselves and do real work in the school.
And so how does one distinguish a project-based program from, say, what one might think of as a tech school?
A traditional high school organizes time around subject matter. In a project-based school, we organize around what we call advisory. So a group of people spend a large amount of time together and develop, design, and do projects. The academic work is woven into those projects. And then the other skills that we think are so important for success are already there in these projects. So, for example, you come to school, you have one teacher, 20 to 24 students, and an advisory is about a 3.5 to 4 hour chunk of time every day. And you're working on two different projects at any given time. And there's a couple other things that go on during advisory. We spend a lot of time building community and kind of figuring out how we learn best, reflecting on our learning. And we also look at these what we, it's a terrible term, but non-cognitive skills, the skills that adults use on a daily basis to be successful, reflect on those skills and how we're growing and using those skills in the work that we're doing.
Safe to say that still the program with the greatest renown actually precedes the establishment of the school, and I'm taking us back to 2007.
Yeah, so a lot of what I learned as a young educator came out of the after-school program where this stuff kind of organically happened. And I would like to say I had the foresight as a young educator to know where it was leading, but I didn't. I just kind of happened to start this after-school program and was amazed by the work the students were doing in this after-school program. We were building cars and then competing on a national level with them. And so that taught me a lot about education. The final big competition we were in was the XPRIZE competition. That was about 8 years ago now. There's 111 teams from around the country. We were the only high school, and we were up against much better funded teams, and we did exceptionally well in that competition.
Better than some 90 of them, I understand.
Yes. Yeah, we outperformed 90. We were in the semifinals. The last 10 teams that get cut, we were in that cut. And we were super proud of how well the kids did. I mean, they designed and developed two really compelling vehicles that performed on that national level. And like you said, beat out 90 other teams. And it's kind of the idea behind the school is this: when kids are empowered and trusted to do real projects that can make a difference in the world, they step up and do that work. And the academic work that's going on, they're invested in to make it happen. But they're the experts all of a sudden. So people are coming to learn from them. And we really believe that's one of the key ingredients at the Workshop School.
Also super proud of the achievement of the time. One President Barack Obama. Let's give a listen.
They held their own. They didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have the best equipment. They certainly didn't have every advantage in life. What they had was a program that challenged them to solve problems and to work together, to learn and build and create. And that's the kind of spirit and ingenuity that we have to foster. That's the potential that we can harness all across America. That's what will help our young people to fulfill their promise, to realize their dreams, and to help this nation succeed in the years to come.
to be acknowledged at that level and to see that the top leaders in this country value this type of work is it's inspiring, it's encouraging, it's one of those things that fuels us to keep us going.
The NOVA program this evening sets up in part as a chronology and starting with preschool education and the importance of that aspect as well in terms of even stressing concentration and focus skills. By you getting involved at the high school level, to what extent do you regret that you aren't able to work with students from an even much earlier age?
Yeah, that's a tricky question. I mean, in an ideal setting and all things are perfect, you definitely want children in the perfect environment from birth until high school. Our country is far less than perfect, and so we believe that high school students are valuable. They're also asking really big life questions. Their brains aren't fully formed yet, and we still really believe in the power of education during adolescence.
The role of the family is touted as well, early education,
Absolutely.
Where a parent or mentor or somebody key is doing one-on-one work, as it were, with the child. And yet, when we read the numbers, it's commonly touted that the U.S. lags behind other industrialized nations, be it Europe or Asia, in education, except when you take out of the equation impoverished neighborhoods. I think if it's 10% or fewer of the student body being impoverished, then we excel. What does that say about education in America in 2016?
Wow. In less than 10,000 words.
I'll give you 1,000.
So it says that poverty is super complicated. And there is no one single solution, and that all children deserve access to an excellent education. And that's one of the things that the Workshop School believes in and is here to demonstrate, that this type of project-based, creative, innovative education is not just for the middle and upper middle class, but it's really meant for everyone. We need to trust children to tap into their passions and be trusted with real work that's meaningful. Rigor is not three worksheets. It's solving real-world problems, or four worksheets if you're at a really rigorous school. It's doing work that matters. And then setting up the systems around students to support them through that work. So it's not just the academic support, but if you're coming from poverty, there's a lot of social, emotional work that needs to happen. And schools can't replace parenting. They can't. However, we owe it to children to set up schools that really care about them and try to support them the best we can.
Also in the NOVA program this evening is a student from your school who's joining us now, Candace Mitchell. Thanks for sitting quietly to the moment. What grade should we give Mr. Hogger to date? How's he doing?
10. He's doing good.
Your story, as told in the program, actually starts with the problems that you have even before you get in the door. Describe.
So, like it is in the video, it's a lot going on in different neighborhoods, especially in West Philadelphia, a lot of violence and crime and drugs and stuff like that. So it's hard to, like, be a part of a community that is having so much of that negativity and still try to be your best even in school and outside of school.
What's your passion? What do you enjoy doing the most? Where do you see yourself once you get out of the program?
Well, I want to be a computer software engineer, so being able to put my passion for computers and science together, it's amazing.
And Simon, that's one of the themes also in the program, that if you can't envision where you are right now, how can you possibly know what your future will hold?
Right. And, you know, that's another piece of poverty that's complicated. And so how do we expose students to all the variety of options that are out there? School should be fun and engaging and inspiring, and honor the different ways children learn and honor the gifts and talents that people have, instead of being more like a factory. And there's a lot of great research out there now that supports that. And obviously the show this evening goes into that.
The Philadelphia schools have been lucky to have you for two decades now. We're certainly hoping you stay two decades more. But as we focus on the Philadelphia system, so many of the stories are about a cash-strapped district that has had to make several cuts, both in terms of staff and in programs, be it sports or arts. Yeah. Give us causes for optimism.
Well, I think one thing to be optimistic about is Dr. Height. I actually am a huge fan of his. He inherited an impossible situation, and he had the vision to start some innovative schools. And when he received pushback, how can you do this when we have no money? His answer was, how can we not do this? Education has to move forward in the city. And I would never want to be in his position. It is bleak. It takes a certain amount of money to educate children properly. That's the reason the suburbs are spending twice as much per pupil than Philadelphia. And they're not straddled with the challenges we're straddled with. So when people say that you can't just throw money at education, like that's going to solve a problem, I agree. But if you look at high-performing districts, the districts that you were talking about earlier that compare so well internationally, they're spending real money on their children, and we need to spend real money on our children. This work is extremely hard on the budget that we have. We've started a nonprofit to raise additional funding because, really, we can't do this work without the additional funding.
The money is extremely important. What are other key ingredients?
Well, the other key ingredients are having a strong vision for a school, and then having the ability to bring people together and empower them to carry out that vision. And so we're fortunate enough that the teachers that are at the school believe in the vision. We have this common idea of what should be going on. And it's a very flat leadership structure. Even though I'm the principal, I'm not there to get anybody. And the teachers will tell you this themselves, that this is a place where we work together as a team. And the ideas that drive the school and the challenges that we face, we sit around and try to problem solve those together. You can't create that type of school for kids and not have the same type of school for adults. And so the culture that we've created at the school is a single culture. Adults and children, we all interact in the same ways.
There's such a hue and cry over standardized test scores and what they really mean. But if not test scores, how does your program measure success, progress?
Well, we do use some traditional measures because that's the economy we live in. But there's plenty of research, and the Atlantic article that came out recently refers to it. Test scores are a horrible predictor of future success. If kids that did really well on standardized tests in high school 2 years after graduation had a high college retention rate, then we would all be obligated to use the test scores. It's just a very simple way to measure folks, and education's lack the creativity or the willpower to go beyond just test scores. There's some other great measurements out there. There's a project called the My Ways Project that looks much more at the whole child and the growth of the child. And they look at the other skills. The skills that you and I use on a regular basis to be successful are a much broader set of skills. And there's ways to measure that and capture it. It just needs to be put to the forefront.
Former teacher and now University of Pennsylvania psychologist Angela Duckworth also speaks to test scores as a adjunct, as a piece of how to assess a person's value, both in real time and for the future. She obviously is famous for this notion of grit. She's also on the program tonight. Let's listen.
To get better in any skill is to challenge yourself to do what you couldn't do before, to concentrate, to get feedback, and then to do it all over again. I think for all students, the place where they learn is the place that's just a little harder, just a little more advanced than what they can do today.
Candace, I see you nodding in agreement. Has that been your experience? Have you been challenged to do something that might not at first glance be attainable?
That's every day. Even though I love challenges, some challenges is just like I feel like aren't really helping me, if you know what I mean. It's like challenges are supposed to make you stronger and be able to help you succeed, and some challenges is just there just to challenge you, and you're just stuck with the failure and not able to pick yourself back up and continue.
Simon and Candace, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Candace Mitchell is a student at the Workshop School. Simon Hauger is founder and principal of the Workshop School in West Philadelphia. And again tonight at 9 on WHYY-TV, Nova, School of the Future.